Rain tiptoed down the window pane like point shoes across a stage. Tiny dancers in the final act, moving on without me. My chest tightened. It's just rain, Viv. But I didn't relax. A newspaper lay folded on the table beside Charlie's teacup. On the back page, an advertisement caught my eye. San Francisco Ballet to present Swan Lake. I traced the words with my fingertip. Only a fool would still care. I kept reading. War Memorial Opera House, casting underway. I couldn't help thinking of that woman I'd once been. The one strangers used to recognize. Lately, everything reminded me of life before the war. Before Charlie. Before the telegram. Charlie sat hunched in his wheelchair over the daily crossword, holding a pencil between his teeth the way he always did when thinking. The parlor was grand, polished floors and pillows beaten into submission, smelling of lemons and scrutiny. Charlie looked so small, swallowed by a space more like a wing of the Louvre than a home. But I wasn't fooled. Hidden away in the dining room hutch, beneath the glassware and folded napkins, lay the didn't turn out the way they'd hoped for life the Sterlings wanted buried. A photograph of Charlie's father with his two sons, Charlie's old track shoes, his mother's yellowing wedding dress. I had to wonder where our wedding photos would be, if we'd bothered to take any. I stood abruptly and made my way to the bookcase. I cleared my throat. The San Francisco Ballet will be performing Swan Lake, I said, running my hand along the spines of books. Charlie's eyes widened briefly.
Lake,
he said, and filled in the boxes of his crossword.
It's always the easy ones that stump me.
I stared at the shelf, titles blurring together. I couldn't blame him for not wanting to talk about ballet. It wasn't the first time I'd mentioned it since he came home. He hadn't even looked up when he pulled the pencil from between his teeth.
I saved one for you, he said matter-of-factly. Six-letter word for yearn that starts with D.
I peered over Charlie's shoulder at the puzzle, nearly filled in with pencil. Desire? Charlie scrawled the answer. Before the war, he lectured as an assistant professor of English at San Francisco State College. It must be terrible living only in words when life had taken away everything else. I pulled a book at random and gripped it until the spine creaked, squeezing harder to keep myself from hurling it across the room. That would get his attention.
Are you going to watch the ballet?
He said finally. Sure, I'll go. I didn't say we. Neither had he. I sank into the Chesterfield with the book and turned it over to see which one I'd taken. The Great Gatsby. I flipped a few pages, and a scrap of newsprint fluttered to the floor. In the center of the article was a black and white photo of a ballerina in a white tutu, her hair pinned in a low bun, a smile to match her big dreams. My eyes fell to the headline in bold print. Vivian Hartley will grace the stage at the War Memorial Opera House this Saturday, May 17, 1941. 2 years ago felt like another life. I pressed a hand to my cheek, staring into the firelight, wondering if I still resembled that woman. My world, once the opera house and adoring fans and endless autograph lines, shrank to tightly woven rugs and doctor appointments. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Soon the clock on the mantel would chime, and Eleanor, my mother-in-law, would be home. Before Charlie, my days were filled with rigorous ballet practices, followed by late-night drinks. Nearly 5 in the evening, and already I wanted to collapse.